Chapter 40, Jeremiah with Gedaliah, the governor. Chapter 40, verse 1 to 12. Now we see chapter 40, verse 4. And now, Doc, I free you this day from the chain that were in your hand. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, come and I will look after you. But if it seems wrong for you to come with to Babylon, remain here. See, all the land is before you. Wherever it seems good and the covenant for you to go, go there. So Jeremiah, in chapter 40, he received the favor. From the verse 2, the captain of the guard. So he was set free. And instead go to okay, now we see verse 5. And now where Jeremiah had not yet come back, Nebuchadnezzar said, go back to Gedaliah, the son of the Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has made governor over the city of Judah. So the king of Babylon set Gedaliah as the governor. So actually, Judah became a colony, and the Babylon set a governor in control of Judah. And verse 6, so Jeremiah just spent time to get with Gedaliah, spent time with the governor. This is chapter 40, verse 1 to 12. And start from verse 13, all this is historical account. Chapter 40, 14 to 41, 17, is talk about that Gedaliah, the governor, was assassinated. And that was a very big insult to the king of Babylon, because he was installed by the king of Babylon to be the governor in control of Judah. So 41 until 17. After they plot and kill the governor Gedaliah, right? And I see verse 3, chapter 41, verse 3. Ishmael also struck down all the Jews who were with him, that is, with Gedaliah, at Mizpah, and the champions who were found there, the men of war. Also, the Ishmael plotted to kill and kill them. And verse 4 says, nobody was aware about that incident. So it happened on the second year after he had killed Gadara, when as yet no one knew it. And later on, when we reach to chapter 41, verse 17. Chapter 41, verse 17. And they departed and dwelt in inhabitation of Chinham, which is near Bethlehem, as they went on their way to Egypt. So eventually, they had to seek a refuge in the Egypt, because they knew the consequence of killing the governor of Gadara. And chapter 42, the flight to Egypt forbidden. And 42, verse 2, 42, verse 2. Then Azariah, the son of Hashiah, Johanna, the son of Kareah, all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, "You spoke falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, 'Do not go to Egypt to dwell there.'" Because Jeremiah received the revelation from God, and he advised you to obey God's command and go to, previously, he would advise them to go to the Babylon to spend time there, and God will protect them, bring them back. And right now they intended to go to Egypt, and Jeremiah advised them not go to Egypt. It seems they cannot accept the advice of Jeremiah. So they accused Jeremiah as the false prophet. And verse 4. Chapter 42. I read 43. Verse 4. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, "I have heard indeed. I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall be that whatever the Lord answer you, I will declare it to you, and I will keep nothing back from you." So they asked Jeremiah to pray for them. And Jeremiah said, "I am going to pray for you. Regardless what God instructed me, I will tell you very faithfully." And then verse 4, Jeremiah prophet said to them, "I heard indeed. I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words." Verse 5. And they said to Jeremiah, "Let the Lord be the true and faithful witness between us. If we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sent us by you." Verse 6. "Whether it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, in whom we send you. And it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." So it seems very that they agree to obey whatever God tells Jeremiah. They are going to be submissive to the instruction of God. And chapter verse 7 onwards, after 10 days onwards, and then the words of God came to Jeremiah. Verse 10. start from verse 9. Oh, what was the instruction from the Lord? And said to them, thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you still remain in the land, and then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I relent concerning the disaster I have brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you, and to save you and to deliver you from the land. So this time, the advice is different. Last time, Jeremiah advised them to follow the army and back to Babylon to go for exile. And this time, he advised you to remain in the peace of land, and God will be with you. Namely, God did not want them to go to the Egypt. God want them to remain in the promised land. So this is 42. So the flight, the plan to go to Egypt was forbidden by the Lord. Okay. Now the consequence if they do not follow. Verse 13. But if you say we will not dwell in the land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, say, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we will see no war, nor hear of the sound of the trumpet, nor hungry, nor bread, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. So if they try to seek to live a peaceful life, because in Egypt there will be no threat from the army of Babylon. They can live in peace, and they shall not suffer from the famine. If they try to live a very peaceful way by disobeying the prophecy of the Lord, then the disaster is coming. So from what we read, 41 and 42 until here, we understand we cannot judge by sight. We have to obey by faith. Just like this morning sermon, we judge by sight. Even there is seems a sign, like a scientific proof, a scientific evidence, everything become very clear. But it's still very possible we are deceived. So they thought that in Egypt, it's very reasonable. Egypt was a very peaceful land. So if we seek refuge in Egypt, we will avoid ourselves from being threatened by Babylon. This is very logic thinking. However, God said, no, you should not go. If you are here, I will be with you. Don't be afraid. It seems if they remain there, they will be afraid. So God assured them, don't be afraid. You just live here. And then they try to make a decision contradicted to what God wants them to live. They try to follow their instinct, follow their own rationale, the decision of rationale. So they try to go to Egypt against God's will. And in the ending, we know that that decision is no good. So if we try to apply the principle here, yeah, it's very similar. So many scientific evidence pointed to a point that it seems the creation of God is questionable, because you look into some kind of survey or some kind of evidence, the Earth has been come to existence for millions of years. But if you look into the Bible, say human beings seems only 6,000 years. And this seems there's a contradiction there. One of the students in the college sent me an email. He said, after they discover what they can make out the DNA, something like that, right? And their dean of biology department tell them, this is to prove creation is not true. So because of discovery of the kind of a DNA, right? The gene of the DNA. So this youth start to have a doubt about God's creation. But regardless what we consider as so logic or scientific, try to convince us to have doubt about God's creation, we should not buy it. Because our experience tells us there is God. When you kneel down and you pray, God feels with us. And a lot of testimony, including our experience, we know God is very powerful. And from the incident of the Bible, we know God can bring blessing and God can destroy. So even some kind of scientific research or report makes some contradiction or suggestion to our faith. But we have to stick on our faith because of God, we worship the living God. So from here, they try to judge by their own ration and make a decision different from what God wants them to live. But in verse 18, you see, what did God say? Verse 18. For thus says the Lord, the host of the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury has been poured out on the inhabitant of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt, and you shall be on earth an oath as astonishment, a curse, and it will approach, and you shall see this place no more. So God's instruction is so clear, but they still decided to go to Egypt. So we look into this historical account, it seems, sometimes we think about ourselves, it's still the same. The Bible gives us so much instruction, but we still follow our own way, right? Just like sexual immorality, premarital sex, something like that, homosexual, drug, all these kind of things. From the principle of the Bible or a very explicit instruction of the Bible, we should say no. But still, the pressure in the world makes us to conform with the trend of the world. And we try to just like the Israelites try to justify our deeds. Nothing wrong. Everybody do it. Nothing wrong. Do you see this one do that? Seems nothing happened. That one do that? Seems nothing to happen. Right? But I think it would be better to take heed on the teaching of the Bible. And one thing is a supplement. Science itself will never contradict with creation of God. By the explanation of the science may contradict it with the creation of God. So it is a problem of explanation of science. It is not the science itself. Because science is to study the creation of God. So it's impossible. The creation of God contradicted with God himself. It's impossible. The reason a lot of scientific report contradicted God's creation because the way they explain it contradicted it. And the way they explain it contradicted it because they lack wisdom, not because they're smart enough can find something against God's creation. Because they are not smart enough to understand the ultimate truth. Verse 42, then we come to verse 43. And when they try to move marching towards Egypt, and then what did they do? They brought Jeremiah together with them. Jeremiah tell them, you should not go. Right? When you go, the punishment of God is coming. If you remain here, the blessing of God is coming. But what happened? When they went there, They brought Jeremiah together with them. Now we see chapter 43, verse 2. That Azariah, the son of Hoshea, and Jonah, the son of Karen, and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, "You speak falsely." So the Bible already very clearly indicates they are proud men. So proud, there are few ways to define what is proud. The most easy way or easy way to understand is proud means we look down upon others. We elevate ourselves above everybody. That's proud. But in another way of showing the proud, we always neglect. Proud means we deny the authority of God over us. We try to ignore the law of God, the authority of God, and that is proud. So we know that you may find some people are very humble. You greeting each other, then you speak so softly, but in the bottom of heart is very proud. Why? In terms of religious belief, they resist God and they try to ignore God. So proud has different way to express. And the people here, they try to against God's will. So in certain sense, they are proud. Okay, so this is chapter 43. They moved to Egypt and they brought together with Jeremiah. Let's see verse 8, chapter 43, verse 8. Then the words of the Lord came to Jeremiah in Tavanis, saying, "Take large stone in your hand and hide them in the sight of the men of Judah, in the clay, in the brick courtyard, which is at the entrance of Pharaoh's house of Tavernes." Jeremiah was instructed to bring a stone with him. Verse 10. "And says to them, Thus says the Lord of hosts of God Israel, Behold, I will send and bring Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will send his set his throne above this stone that I have hidden, and he will spread his royal pavilions over them." So right now the prophecy already come. You thought Egypt is a place you can find security. Egypt is a place you will encounter no famine. But now the prophecy of God come. Since you do it against my will. So right now Nebuchadnezzar is coming not only to take over the Judah and Jerusalem, but also Nebuchadnezzar is coming to defeat the Egypt and to destroy the Egypt. So the people seeking for refuge in Egypt eventually will be ruined according to the prophecy. So against God's way of life, no one is good in the end. This is what we can learn so far. Chapter 43. Chapter 44. Israel will be punished in Egypt because of idolatry. It's hard to imagine Israel. God allowed the Babylon to attack them because they worshiped idol. So they should learn a hard lesson from their suffering. They should learn a hard lesson from their suffering. However, it seems they were not smart enough to learn a lesson and change the way they conduct their life. So when they moved to Egypt, what happened? they practice the same thing, worship the idol in Egypt. Oh. Now we see verse 3. Chapter 44, verse 3. And because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, and that they went to burn incense and serve other gods whom they do not know, nor you or your fathers. So this verse says, they burn the incense, worship the idol. First one is provoke me to anger. So when God get angry to punish them, that was not God's original intention. God has no intention to make his people suffering because the people provoke him. And how did the people provoke him? Provoke him by deserting him, by worshiping the idol, by disobey him. And this is so-called provoke him. And then the second one, God talk about the godly worship of whom they do not know. Yeah. They worship a lot of gods, but they do not know what they are worshiping. Spiritually speaking, they are foolish, they are blind. So they have gone astray, follow the foreign nation to worship the idol. So this is 44, when they went into Egypt, they worshiped the idol, because Egypt was a place predominated by worshiping the idol. That was the reason God sent Moses to bring them out. Without bringing them out, they were unable to live a life of worshiping the only one God, because that environment itself is so terrible. But right now, they want to go back to the place their forefather has come in out, because of very simple reason, to resolve the material needs. Very simple reason. So this is to tell us, yes, we do have our own needs, right? But we cannot resolve our needs by a means which is not acceptable to God. One of the things that we have to think about very much is, for example, in order to engage a career, then we go to a very far away place, and then you have no family life, or husband and wife have to separate for a long time. Quite often I start to think about, is that God's will? In order to make more money, make a better life, and a husband and wife, and a long time separation, and eventually cause a lot of marriage problem, and cause a lot of sin being committed, and cause a lot of family problem. So when we see the Israelites went into the Egypt, follow the Egypt trend, let us think about nowadays, what does that mean? Go to a certain country to invade, make a lot of money. But don't you think, in a certain sense, that is a trend in the world, just like a trend in Egypt, to worship the idol. And nowadays, the idol is money, in order to earn more money. So a lot of people, they go there not because they lack money. They have no means to support their life, but because they want to make more money. But don't you think that's a certain sense, worshiping the idol? To obey God's law. God's law means husband should never depart from the wife. Yes, for a short term, it's okay, but if we adopt that kind of lifestyle for a long-term basis, it's not right. Two shall be one. What does that mean? If the husband live at one place, 1,000 miles away, and wife live another place, 1,000 miles away. What does that mean? Two shall be one. That violates the law of God of marriage. So when we think about this, worshiping the idol, we are not only very narrowly confined to the idol in the idol cave by the wood. Now, idol nowadays is money. In order to pursue money, we follow the worldly trend to the Egypt. Very similar. Cause a lot of problems. Okay. Now, chapter 45. The message of assurance to Baruch. Jeremiah, maybe I have only a few friends, and one of the friends is his secretary, Baruch. Jeremiah spoke, and Baruch make a record. And the assurance is verse 3. God is going to tell them. God tell the Jeremiah and to tell Baruch. They are going to. He is going to add the suffering to the Egypt, but assurance, Baruch, God is going to take care of him. So this is a very short message. 46 to 51, the message of judgment to nations. 46, judgment on Egypt. From verse 1 to verse 12 is a prophecy of judgment on Egypt. And verse 11, verse 10, I already say there was a nation come from Ephrat, which actually is Babylon. Verse 6, there's a mighty army from northern Ephrat, it is Babylon. And verse 13, even more clear, the king of Nebuchadnezzar is from Babylon, is coming to attack the Egypt, to strike the Egypt. So from 13 to 26, Babylon will strike the Egypt. So this is a judgment to Egypt, the place the Israelites thought will give them peace. But God thought that the country is going to be judged. So which one is right? Of course, God is right. Okay. And 47, the judgment of Philistine. We cannot go into the detail. You can read by yourself, and all because of sin. And verse 40, chapter 48 is the judgment of Moab. We know the Moab as a sin, right? One of the sins is sexual immorality. When the Israelites reached to the border of the Canaan, a lot of Moab women enticed the Israelites commit sexual immorality. And we still remember, right? Phinehas was a person who was very upright. He used a sword to pierce a young man and woman committing the fornication. And the Bible says the God of jealousy all of a sudden decided to withdraw his wrath, because Phinehas has done a justice on behalf of God. So we see Moab is a place of immorality. So the judgment will come to them. And then 49, the judgment of Ammon. And the 49, verse 7, the judgment of Edom. And there is one minor prophet called Obadiah. And Obadiah actually is a prophecy against Edom. And Edom become very proud because of several reasons, and also mentioned here. The country has a lot of wise men, and the country are very wealthy, and the country have very good nature protection. The nature, that kind of a fortress, a big mountain will protect them. And the country has abundance of material product, so it become very proud. And the Edom actually is a descendant of Esau. And Esau, as what we know, Esau represent those who belong to the flesh. Those who belong to the flesh. So eventually, Edom was consumed and was destroyed. The judgment of Ammon and Edom. 23 to 33, the judgment of Damascus. Damascus is nowadays Syria. The judgment of Elam. 34 to 39, the judgment of Babylon and Babylonia. 50, chapter 50, verse 1 to 46, God's judgment come to Babylon. So in the previous few chapters, God used Babylon to judge the Israelites, to punish the Judah. But right now, in return, God used another nation, Medes, right? God used another nation called Medes, Madai, to punish the Babylon and eventually destroy the Babylon. So that means the justice of God, before the justice of God, everybody is fair. God never show favoritism. So Babylon be used by the God as an instrument, but his sin has to be dealt with God properly. And chapter 50 talk about the destruction of Babylon, and at the same time talk about the return of the people in captivity. So verse 4 to verse 10, or verse 17 to verse 20, all prophesied the people come back from captivity, and God is going to forgive their sin, and they are going to enjoy prosperity again. Because God showed mercy to them once again. And 51, chapter 51, verse 1 to 64, the whole chapter, the utter destruction of Babylon. So Babylon will never come back to the history again. They will be destroyed forever. So 20 to 23 talk about God like a hammer, very powerful hammer. When the hammer smash on a country, then the country is finished. So just like the visions witnessed by Daniel, right? There's a big statues, right? The gold, the head is what? It's gold, right? And reach to the toe, and the toe is the clay and the iron mixed together. Clay are very, very soft. Iron are very hard. Just like this world, some country emphasize on dictatorship are very hard. And some country emphasize democratic are very soft, are mixed together and have 10 toes. And waiting a big stone. The big stone smash on the statue is finished. And that big stone is Jesus Christ. So God is like a hammer, like a big stone. The human history will be come to an end when God comes down. Just like a big stone smash the world. So this is 51. And 52, verse 1 to 11, talk about the fall of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be attacked, will be overtaken by Babylon, will fall. This is a real account of historical account. The prophecy of Jeremiah ended in 51. And let's see the 51 last verse. And 52 is the appendix. The 51 verse, last verse, God commanded Jeremiah, right? And used a stone tied together with the book and throw the stone into the river of Euphrates. Of course, the stone will sink into the bottom. And by this way, to tell the people in Babylon about their destiny. So 54. And you shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So Babylon is going to sink, be destroyed, and forever. Just like this book together with a stone sink into the river. That was a prophecy of Jeremiah, the end of the book. And 52 is a supplement of what happened when Jeremiah was captured. The people was killed, and the city was burned, and the temple was destroyed, and people exiled to Babylon, 24 to 30. And Jehoiakim released from the prison, 31 to 34. So this is the end 啊，奥兹伯格杰里迈。